cold or something. Oh. All right. You mind the Lord.
I can't drink all that, brother.
God gives you more than you ask for.
Yeah. All right. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we'll be reading from Psalms 51. Psalm 51. Years ago, I had the privilege to preach the Cleveland County camp meeting. While I was preaching that camp meeting, I lost my oldest brother. While I'm here tonight, my other older brother is in hospice. And I saw him today. He's hanging on for life. And most of you know I lost my wife 5 months ago. And where's Sister Evelyn at? We were married 48 years. This past June the 3rd. But God's still good. But pray for my brother, if you would, please. He is saved, but it still hurts. But I appreciate the opportunity tonight. It's an honor for me to be here at the Burke County Camp Meeting. Psalms 51. The psalmist said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Read correctly, that's reading the first 14 verses of Psalms 51. I'll ask the pastor at Mount Calvary if he would pray for me tonight. Oh God. Yes, help me, Lord. Oh God. Mm. God. Grant it, Jesus. All right, thank you, preacher. You can be seated tonight. Is this a little too loud for you? If it is, raise your hand. All right. I want to preach tonight from this psalm, and I want to use for a subject tonight what to do with your sins. I want you to notice how many times David uses the word sin. Now, without doubt or without controversy tonight or debating, all of us in the building know what sin is. I'm sure tonight I'm looking at a whole lot of saved people been saved by the good grace of God. And we have heard testimonies tonight of those of you that are saved. But in the midst of those of us tonight that are saved by His grace, there's sin among us tonight. None of us tonight can raise a hand and say that we're not sinners saved by the grace of God. David tonight was no exception. We forget about some things about David. We forget when he was only about 17 years old. The Bible tells us he was the youngest son of Jesse. And when he was only about 17, maybe 18 years old, we find in the Word of God that David killed that lion and killed that bear. And then in the same chapter we find that David goes up to a man twice his size and takes care of him. We forget about that, about David. We're reminded in the Word of God that David, they said David has killed his 10,000 and Saul his 1,000. We're reminded that David showed mercy to Saul there in that cave when the Word of God said that David was there in the sides of the cave. And when Saul and his men came in, David could have took his life. But the Bible said that David cut off a peep, a Saul's skirt, and we forget about that. But honey, we remember some things about David. We remember in the Word of God, the man after God's own heart committed adultery and had a man killed, Uriah the Hittite. And the Bible said that David there had an affair with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. Can I tell you tonight, people's not going to remember the good thing that you do. They're going to remember the bad things you do. They ain't going to remember the time that you come to Burke County Camp Meeting, but they're going to remember the times that you laid out and didn't come. They're not going to remember the times that you preachers stood, you men of God stood and preached the Word of God, but they'll remember those that forsook the Lord and walked away. And so tonight, David is a man after God's own heart, but David also is a man with sin in his life. And I want to preach for a few minutes on what to do with your sin. I'm not going to debate with you tonight that you don't have sin in your life. I'm not talking about willfully sinning. I'm talking about the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And on my very best day, I come short of His glory. On my very best Sunday, brother, you have good days and bad days. Brother Buddy, on my very best day, I still sin and come short of His glory. What in the world, Brother Charles, are we going to do about our sins tonight? David mentions in this psalm, over and over again. I preached one time on my sin, my sin, my sin. David said in this psalm over and over again many times. I said in verse number 2, you notice how many times he mentioned that word sin in verse number 2. He said, cleanse me from my sin. In verse number 4, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. In verse number 5, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. In verse number 9, he said, hide thy face from my sins. I want to use David tonight as a type of a springboard, if I can, and brothers, a type of a platform tonight that I might be able to show us tonight what we can do with our sins. Some of you sitting in the building tonight, you don't know what you're going to do about your sins. I mean, the devil gets on you when you sin. I mean, when I come short of his glory, when I maybe have a bad thought or somebody makes me mad, you say, "Why, preacher, do you get mad?" Well, you need to be honest tonight. You just need to be honest. Amen. I mean, you're still in the flesh. And you said you got saved and you came back to the camp meeting. I mean, you got to be honest tonight. Brother, when he saved you, he didn't save his soul flesh. He saved your soul. He didn't save my flesh. And you get mad. When you get mad, you sin against God. Amen. Now, I know what that Bible says. That Bible says, be angry and sin not. But I ain't never been able to do that. Amen. I mean, when I get mad, I want to cut somebody. Yeah. Amen. When I get mad, I want to shoot somebody. Amen. Preacher, you oughtn't to talk like that. Just be honest. When they cut you off at a red light, when they say things and they curse you and they give you a wave offering, brother, you get mad at them. You get mad at them. Am I telling it right? You go up a road and you say, my God, what have I done? You didn't do anything. You just thought about it. Amen. You didn't do anything, but you thought about what you could have done. That's happened over and over and over again. And honey, a lot of times the devil will put people in front of you to see what you're going to do and see how you're going to handle things that pop up in your life and in your heart. What you going to do with them sins? When it does happen, and it will happen, I promise you. I don't know how many pastors here tonight, but I don't see you raise your hand if you're a pastor or a preacher. That looks like that's enough to help it or kill it one. Amen. And you know as well as I do, sometimes there's those in your church, they can make you the maddest. They can get you out of the will of God quicker than anybody else can. Amen. I've got a lot of people with me tonight. They've never done that. They've never made me mad. Oh, God, forgive me. They've never got me in the flesh. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, Brother Charles, sometimes they'll come dragging in and they'll drag out. And then they say, what in the world's wrong? I tell you what's wrong. Brother, we've got sin in our lives. Lives, and we got to deal with that. David dealt with sin. What you going to do with your sins tonight? Amen. As I said, David mentioned over and over again about his sins. What to do with your sins? Let me mention 3 things tonight David did. And I know you're tired. You've been in camp meeting and you've been faithful. And I was here Tuesday night. Didn't get to come back any night. But tonight, Lord willing, be back tomorrow night. I don't have any idea what Joe Arthur preached. Probably something crazy. Don't have any idea what he preached. And I hate to follow a man like that. No, really, don't bother me. Amen. Don't bother me at all. I was here and heard Brother Bob McQuarrie preach. Don't bother me. I just don't want to preach the same thing that other preacher preached. Amen. And I hope nobody preached Psalm 51. If they did, and I'm preaching it again, then God wanted you to hear it. Amen. Am I right about it? What are you going to do with them sins? I tell you what David did with his sins, and then we'll apply that to our own lives and see what we're doing with our sin. First thing I want you to notice tonight that David did with his sins, he faced his sins. In other words, he came face to face with it. And can I say tonight, even though you're saved, and Smarts Grove, you're saved, Mount Calvary, you're saved, Brother Buddy, some A.B. Chapel are saved, and a few of them from High Brighton saved, by the grace of God, amen. But can I say this, going down the road of life, you're going to have to face your sins. And now commentators, and those that I love to read after tonight, and those of you that are Bible students, I can understand that David wrote this psalm after he had that affair with Bathsheba, and the man of God went to him and said, "Thus saith the Lord, thou art the man that has done this thing." And David penned down this psalm, and he said, "Have mercy, God, have mercy on me, and help me," he said, and said, "blot out my transgressions and forgive me my iniquities." And it sounds like to me tonight, Brother Spiegel, he faced his sins and it had come in clean before the God of glory. Amen. Am I right about it? See, a lot of people won't acknowledge their sin. And if you're sitting here tonight and you won't face your sins, you listen to me tonight, you're never going to get anywhere with the Lord. You face your sin. Am I right about it? I know preachers tonight, I know people tonight, Brother Bud, that have not faced up to their sins. Some of them, they cry when they get caught up with. But can I say this tonight? Oh, David faced up to his sins. He said, "Oh, Lord," he said, "have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." He said, "blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Brother Charles, he faced his sin. That's what you can do with him tonight. You can face your sin tonight, and God will help you with it. Am I right about it? Oh, preacher, how did he face his sin? I want you to look, please, tonight in verse number 2 and 3. He faced the reality of his sin. He faced the depths of it. In verse number 2, he said, "Wash me thoroughly." You remember Brother Hinkle Little? Oh, Brother Hinkle Little said, you could separate that and say, "Wash me, though roughly." That's what Hinkle said. I ain't saying that. That's what Hinkle said. "Wash me, though roughly." And when you dabble in sin, you're going to have to be washed. You're not lost again, honey. You just got sin all over you. You say, "Preacher, that ain't a camp meeting message. You let me and God worry about that." Hey, man, I'm just trying to mind God what to do with your sin tonight. I found a pacifier in the van on the way over here. And I may have it in my pocket. And I told some of our members, I said, "Here." And I said, "I may take it, but I didn't bring it in." You say, "Preacher, that ain't the way you ought to preach at a camp meeting." I preached camp meeting before, and there's people sitting in there. Brother Bud was seeing in their lives, and we need to face the reality of it. He faced the reality of his sins and the depths of it. And I like what one writer said. He said, "David's sin was no surface matter, but said it had gone deep down and stained his soul." Brother, when you sin and when I sin, they may not see it on the surface, but buddy, way down, brother, on the inside, it stains you, it scars you. And God, help us tonight to realize we need to face up to our sin. Am I telling it right? Brother Davis, am I right about it? How many church members we have tonight that they face the reality and they say, "Oh God, it's went deep in my soul." I can spot them when they come into the house of God. I can spot them. I said, "You've been out in the world, hadn't you? Been out there in the world. You've been dabbling in that world, and things are not as sweet as they used to be. Things ain't like they used to be. You know why? Because you have dabbled into sin, and now we got to face our sins. He faced the reality of it. He said, "Wash me thoroughly, and I shall be clean." He faced the depths of it. And then he faced the dreadfulness of it. He said in verse number 3, "I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me." The bad thing about sin, it's there when you go to bed. It's there when you get up. It's there the next day. It follows you, Brother Tony, everywhere you go. And David said, "Every day my sin is right there. I can't shake it." Help me, preachers. I can't shake it. Every day, there it is. And I want to tell you, David faced his sin, Brother Darrell. There it is. There it is before me. You may go to bed and take something to help you sleep, but when you get up, there's that sin staring you right in the face. There is that old ugly sin that you got mad, or maybe you did something else that you ought not to have done. I want to tell you what to do with your sins. You can face your sins. David did that. He faced the reality of his sins. Not on the depths of it, but the dreadfulness of it. Oh, I dread to stand before the judgment seat. My wife, me and my wife had a long talk one night before she passed away. And I said, "Honey, I don't want you to leave me." She said, "You know where I'm going." And I knew where she went. She said, "I'm not afraid to die." But she said, "I dread that judgment." Don't tell you something. She's a better Christian than I am. She's a whole lot better Christian, Brother Ken, than I'll ever be. She said, "I dread that judgment. Those sins that are always before us. Those sins, Evelyn, it's always before my eyes. Things that I'd done back there when I first got saved. Even things I'd done before I saved. I won't have to give an account of that." But the devil brings them up. Devil brings them up, and they're under the blood. I know that. But since I've been saved, things that I have done since I've been saved, and I know some of you had never done anything, but you're looking at a preacher, a brother that has sinned and come short of the glory of God. David faced the dreadfulness of it. He said, "The bad part is, it's there all the time." What you do with your sins, not only David faced it, the reality of it, but David faced the repulsiveness of it. Look in verse number 4. He said, "Against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and what's this, and clear when thou judgest." Not only faced the reality of it and the repulsiveness of it, what did it do, preacher? It brought pain to the heart of God. Look in verse number 4. He said, "Against thee, and thee only have I sinned." You don't sin against Ken Frady. You don't sin against Charles Lewis and Billy Mays and Brother Davis and Brother Dyson and Brother Buddy, but you sin against God. And he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil." Oh, the repulsiveness of it. David said, "Listen," he said, "it's awful that I brought pain." Every time you sin, you bring pain and heartache to the Son of God. Am I right about it? You need to think about that. When I sin and when you sin, you hurt the Savior. When he run to the God the Father, when he said, God said, "Has thou considered my servant Job?" And the devil said, "Yeah, I've looked at him." And God said, "Ain't nothing like him." The devil said, "You built a hedge around him." He said, "Let me have him. He'll curse you to your face." Do you not know the devil has access to the throne of God? And every time Ken Frady sins, you say, "How do you know Ken sins?" I know he does. Yeah. Every time the pastor at Mount Calvary sins, every time these other preachers sins, he runs straight as he can to the throne room of heaven. He says, "Look a there, look a there. Look what he's doing. Look how he's conducting himself. But standing over here on his right hand is my advocate, is your advocate, is my lawyer tonight. And he says, Father, that's one of mine. I saved him years ago. And his blood has been applied. I've got his blood. Thank God on my soul. Even though I sin, even though I come short, thank God. And the devil accuses me before him day by day. I'm glad I have an advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. I'm glad he's my advocate. He's my lawyer. Years ago, I don't know how I got involved in this, but years ago, I got called to a home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why they called at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, what are you doing? Does that make sense? What are you doing? I was fishing. Got a call about 2:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? I said, I'm sleeping. Well, I need you to come up here. Never been to my church a day in their life. Lived in a little house on the back side of my church. Said, I want you to come up here. And Brother Ken, I went. I stepped in to a mess. I mean a mess. I stepped into something I didn't want to step into. And I was told this and I was told that. And the next day, the sheriff of Caldwell County calls me. This preacher, Douglas Cox. I said, yes. You've been called to a court of law as a character witness. Now, son, you talk about getting mad. I got mad. I said, I ain't coming. He said, you want me to send the car after you? You want me to send the car and get you? You got to come. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, I'll take you to jail if you don't come. You've been called, boy. I go up there, and there stands them people. I went to their house to be a spiritual advisor to them. They had got in a squabble. They had accused each other of adultery. I got in a mess. I don't want to get into it. I'm just going to lay the picture for you. But anyway, she had a lawyer and he had a lawyer. And that her lawyer said, now, Preacher Doug said, we're going to put you on the stand. And said, you tell everything you know. I said, uh-uh. I ain't telling you nothing. She had three great big old boys. They're bigger than Ken. Stand up, John. If you don't stand up, God will get you. That's bigger than John. I don't know who's the biggest, John or Ken. I believe John could take you, though. Because he knows. I've trained him. Amen. But they had three big old boys. And I said, I ain't telling you nothing. And that lawyer said, what'd you say? I said, I ain't telling you nothing. I said, what I saw up there and what I discussed with them up there, I did it as a spiritual advisor. I said, you put me on that stand and I take zip law. A zip jaw, I mean. I'll take lock jaw when you put me on that stand. Boy, he got so mad at me. He got so tore up at me. He said, the reverend's excused in. I said, amen. Now, why did I tell that? Because, praise God, I have a lawyer in heaven. If any man sin, listen what 1 John said. Brother Billy, he said, if any man sin, and you do sin, and I do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hallelujah. I'm glad when I do sin, when I do fail, when I do drop the ball, I got somebody I can go to. He'll help me, amen. He'll help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You okay, brother? Amen. You gonna sing? Amen. Well, I ain't gonna fall, brother. There he is. The repulsiveness of sin. It brought pain to the heart of God.
And then it brought punishment from the hand of God. Look in verse number 4. Thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Honey, you don't sin and I don't sin. You don't sow a brother to the flesh without reaping corruption. But when you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. And when you sin, and you do sin, don't you? You're going to be judged for it. And I'm going to be judged for it. What are you going to do with your sin? You're going to have to face it. Not only David faced the reality of it and the repulsiveness of it, but in verse number 5, he faced the reason for it. Look at this. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David didn't blame it on the woman. David didn't blame it on the preacher, but he blamed it on himself. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. You know why we sin? Y'all listening? You know why we sin? Because we got that old sin nature. Because of that old Adam nature that's inside of us. That's the reason you sin. You was born in sin. In sin was you conceived. And you were born in sin. Therefore, you can't help it. There's something inside of you. That old Adam nature inside of you. David said, I'm facing the repulsiveness of it. I'm facing the reality of it. But he said, I faced the reason for it. He said, in sin I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You can't help it, can you? You just can't help it. Well, you need to get your can't help it fixed. Amen. David faced his sin, didn't he? Then not only David faced his sin, but David forsook his sin. Look in verse 7 through 12. He said, purge me with hyssop. Now get right good right here. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. He said, wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy faith from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit. He said in verse number 11, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy well. Glory to God. It sounds to me like David faced his sins, but it sounds to me like Brother David, he has forsaken his sins. And can I say tonight, what you can do with your sins, you can face them, but Brother Raymond, you can forsake them. You can walk away from them. You can ask God to help you. You can ask God to strengthen you and give you what you need when you got sin in your life. Am I right about it? Look what he said. David forsook his sin. Not only he faced it, but he forsook it. First of all, he asked God to remove the cancer of his sin. In verse number 7, he said, wash me, purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Then he asked God to remove the consequences of sin. In verse number 8, make me to hear the joy and gladness. You know, you can't hear them birds sing. You can't hear them birds sing when you got sin in your life. You say, preach on, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. That choir. Lord God, I love to hear. Besides High Brighton Choir, I like to hear Smarts Grove Choir. And Sister Evelyn, you've always been my favorite singer. That's right. I'll tell you right now, but you need a piano player. That's all you need. Amen. She'd go places in. But all she needed is somebody to play piano. But you, when you got all that stuff hanging around you, I don't care if you hear singing like you heard tonight, Brother Charles. It don't do nothing for you. Am I right, Brother Spiegel? You sit there and you listen, and a man of God get up and preach. You got the Holy Ghost on him. And he's sitting there, wondering when he going to get done. The old cross-eyed weasel. Wonder when he's going to get done. Amen. I mean, you just start criticizing. You know what your problem is? Buddy, you've got sin in your life. David said that I might hear joy again. You don't hear them birds singing again. I told my church, I heard Ralph Sexton Jr. tell this one time. His wife been sick a long, long time. And he took her to the hospital. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He walks out of the hospital and she's there, been in and out of the hospital a long time, ever since I've known him. He said, I walked out at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's a little old bird sitting up on the awning, a whistling at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he started talking to that bird. That little bird at 3 o'clock in the morning. He wanted to shoot that bird. And he's finally, I turned around and said, what are you singing about? It's dark outside. And that bird kept, shut up! My wife's laying in there in the hospital. He said that bird kept on singing. After a while, the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Said the reason that bird's singing, he knows in a few hours, light's going to come through.
Amen.
Amen. He knows in a few hours, brother, the darkness is going to roll. Glory to God, the darkness is going to roll away. And when you and I got sin in our lives, and birds are singing, and the preacher will preach, but it don't do anything for us. But hallelujah, brother Davis, when they get under the blood, Brother Tony, when they get on the blood, you can hear the joy bells. You can hear the birds singing again. Amen. Glory. Thanksgiving week, November of this year, Thanksgiving week. We go to the doctor every week. Every week, sometimes twice a week, my wife went to the doctor. And I always went with her. She said, you don't have to go. I said, I'm going. She said, all they're going to do is a finger stick. I said, I'm going. I'm going to be there for you. And I don't regret a time. But Thanksgiving week, we go in there. He says to her, your white blood cells are starting to elevate. But here's what he said. I think you'll be all right. Have a good Thanksgiving. This year, past year, 2013, the week of Thanksgiving. That was on Tuesday. On Thursday, we go to my youngest son's house and have Thanksgiving. We go back to see him on that following Tuesday. He said, something's going on. Come back Thursday. Now listen to me. I was sitting beside her in the chair. Now my church will tell you she not one time ever complained. I sat there where I always sit. Doctor came in. He said, forget about your bone cancer. You've got leukemia, and you're going to die. Now, my birds quit singing. And you know what the devil said, buddy? The devil said, you're going to keep on preaching now? Brother Tony said, you're going to tell the people how much God loves them now? And I don't mind telling you, I had a time there for a while. The love of my life, my soulmate, we got married when we was 19 years old. We got married. Been married 48 years. And he tells me that my wife's going to die. He said, get her
to Wake Forest. I mean, get her there now. He said, pack your bags. You're going to stay for 30 or 40 days. 6 days we stayed. And on the sixth day, she died. There was a rumor started circulating in Caldwell County, and I know what church it come out of. Doug Cox has quit preaching. Did you ever question why? Would not you have questioned why? I might have said, why, God, but I never said, God, you're wrong. And there for a while, I didn't know which way is up, and I didn't know which way was down, and I didn't know where I was coming or going, and there's an empty place at the table, and there's an empty place in the car, and there's an empty place in the bed, but there wasn't an empty place in my heart. I still had the God that I serve. I still had the power of the Holy Ghost, and the birds are singing again in my heart and in my life. I'd say, praise God. I bless His name. While she was sick, the Lord kind of kept me close around home. But when she passed away, I said, God, I pour myself into my ministry. God, I pour myself into my ministry. God began to open doors right and left, right and left. Amen. And I'll give Him everything I've got tonight. Why do you preach so hard? I'm giving Him everything I've got. I give it everything I've got, preacher, for the glory of God. I don't want to rust up. I don't want to back up or back down. I've come too far to quit now. David said, not only he faced his sin, he forsook his sin. Not only said, remove the cancer, but remove the consequences. He said, let me hear them. Let me hear them joys again. He said, create in me, cast not me away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Then he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore me your salvation. Just that joy. I've lost that joy because of sin. I've lost that joy. What are you going to do with your sin? Face them and forsake them. But then hurriedly, not only David faced his sins, David forsook his sins. But thank God David found forgiveness for his sin. I say, woo! I say, hallelujah. David found forgiveness of his sins. 1 John 1:9 said, if we sin, amen, confess our sin, He's faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every bit of unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And that means all. You know what all means in the Greek? You're right. All our sins. I'm glad tonight David may have sinned, but I'm glad he may have faced his sin. You can forsake your sin. You can face your sins. But buddy, you got to find forgiveness of your sin. Am I right about it? Oh, happy day when you come to the altar, Brother Billy, and you feel that you need to get something under the blood. And then Brother Raymond, when it goes under the blood and you get your joy back, you know you found forgiveness then of your sin. Am I right about it? How you know David found forgiveness, preacher? I'm going to show you then. I'm going to sit down. I got to preach in the morning and tomorrow night if you'll have me back. 13 and 14, David found forgiveness of his sins. Notice what he said in verse number 13 after he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Verse 12, notice that little word, then. Then will I teach transgressions thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Watch this. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David not only faced his sin, David forsook his sin, but now it sounds to me like that David has found forgiveness of his sins. How you know, preacher? Because of that word then.
He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Amen. You know what a forgiven saint wants to do? They want to praise God. He said, I will witness. Look in verse 13 again. He said in that verse, I will witness. You can't witness if you don't have your sin forgiven. He said, I will worship. In verse number 14, he said, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Sound to me like Brother Charlie that he found forgiveness. And when you find forgiveness, you can teach them and you can worship the Lord God of heaven. Am I telling the truth? What are you going to do with your sins tonight? Oh, we got to face them. We got to forsake them. Then we've got to find forgiveness for them. A forgiven saint will praise God. Then a forgiven saint will please God. Verse 19, and I'm done. He said in verse number 19, Then shalt thou be pleased. Pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Not only a forgiven saint will praise God, but a forgiven saint wants to please God. He will praise God with his words, and he'll please God with his ways. I'm going to ask you again tonight, while the musicians come, what are you going to do about your sins? Preacher, what can I do? Three things. You can face them, you can forsake them, and you can find forgiveness for them. I want you to stand over the building tonight. While people come to this altar, even before the musicians start to play, people are finding their place. Now, preacher, what can I need to do again? You need to face them, you need to forsake them, and you need to find forgiveness. Don't tell this preacher that you don't have sin in your life tonight. I've not pinpointed your sin because I don't know what it is. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you said. No preacher in here does. But I'm asking you, would you bow your head, please, over the building? I'm asking you right now, while people are making their way to this altar, don't you want to know what to do with your sin? Preacher, what am I going to do about it? Face them. I said, dear God, every time I go preach, Brother Ken, I said, dear God, don't let me miss you. Oh, I had a glory message I could have preached tonight. Probably would have shouted the house down. But I'm telling you, I had to mind God. What are you going to do with your sin tonight? Is this all going to come to the altar? I'm going to turn it over to the moderator. I ask you one more time. What you going to do with your sins tonight? Brother choir leader, you lead us in